Welcome back into the program. It's another week. It's Wednesday, and we are joined by the college football professor on today's edition of the Bun Sports Show at BunSports.com. And it was an eventful weekend last week. We saw number one Alabama go down at home to Texas A&M. First in what could be a few weeks of shakeup of the BCS as we get ready for the national championship game. That'll be determined after the first weekend in December. But we always have something like this happen in November, it seems. It never fails. Last year, of course, we had all the upsets, and here it is. Nobody thought it could happen, but Texas A&M goes into Tuscaloosa and takes down Alabama.
Yes, that was quite a surprise. But nonetheless, Texas A&M came to play, and they were ready. They were ready to try to make their mark, and from time to time, there are teams that are ready to do that.
That's true. What did you make of Johnny Manziel, the freshman quarterback from Texas A&M? He was, well, we all knew he had an ability before that game, but I think now everybody knows about what he can do.
I think he has a combination of ingredients. First of all, he's strong. And a lot of times quarterbacks or people who've got speed, they don't have the strength he's got, but he's strong and he's quick and he's got, he's got a lot of ability. But I think one thing that gives him an edge is that he is a football player, and he understands the game. And you could see that. Not only could he run, throw, and do all those other things and escape, but he had an understanding of what was going on in the field. So he had that sense of just knowing what it means to play football.
Well, and that caused a shakeup in the BCS. Now we have three undefeated teams sitting atop the rankings: Kansas State, Oregon, and Notre Dame, all sitting at 10-0. Followed by Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, three teams from the SEC that are 9-1. And it is presumed that Alabama will play Georgia in the SEC championship game because Alabama only has Auburn remaining on the schedule, and most people think that Alabama will get through Auburn with no problem. So that's where it is, and unless Kansas State, Oregon, Notre Dame lose, it will be a combination of those three teams playing for the national title. If teams start to lose, then we could see a whole new scenario. But right now, college football professor, as you look at these BCS standings, just give us your impression and where you think this is all headed.
I think, Jacob, that unless one of these three remaining teams lose, it will be Kansas State and Oregon playing for the national championship. Now, that's saying if neither of them lose or something else unforeseen happens. One other thing that's interesting, Georgia has played its way into contention as one of the teams that has one loss. Now, if we look at it, if Alabama defeats Auburn, then it will be Alabama and Georgia playing in the SEC championship game. And most likely they're playing for one of those top four spots. So we're looking at four spots right now. Now, I know that we're not ready for the 14 playoffs, but I believe that right now the shuffling is going to be within the top four spots, whatever happens. And as I said, if all three teams that have not lost do not lose, then that will be decided. But if one loses or two loses, then things could really change. And if you look at it, Oregon has to play Stanford and Oregon State and then maybe USC or UCLA. Now, that means that they will have to bring their A game. That means the other teams are going to have to play maybe not one of these games where you just go all out and do things that miraculously. But then Kansas State has to play Baylor. Baylor is a 4-win, 5-loss team. And then Texas. So it looks to me like Kansas State's got the easier path there.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Kansas State does have a simple path. They have Baylor and Texas, of course. I do think Texas could pose some problems. I think the most difficult of all, and I read an article about that this morning, is Oregon. I mean, they may be the best team of the three, but they definitely have a tough road when you have to play Stanford this weekend at home. Then you travel to play Corvallis, and we all know Oregon State's having a good year. And then, of course, most likely playing USC in the Pac-12 championship, unless, of course, they don't win this weekend against their rival UCLA. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. And like you said, you talked about the playoff. We are getting a playoff in 2 years. But if we had it this year, and let's just assume everyone wins out, of course Alabama and Georgia would play off, it would be a perfect year for that four-team playoff, because you would have number one Kansas State going up against the SEC champion and Oregon and Notre Dame, and it would be one of those years. But still, a lot can happen between now and the end of the year.
Well, I think a couple of weeks ago, most everybody was in agreement that Alabama and Oregon were the best two teams.
That's right.
Not to say that they're still the best teams, but also Alabama and Oregon had the roughest road ahead of them. I don't think people can overestimate the difficulty of going through playing, like, let's just take Alabama, playing, Mississippi State, LSU, and Texas A&M in a row.
Yeah.
Those are three really, really difficult games just right in the row, and they can take something out of you, so something can happen. And that's what some of these teams do not have to do. They may have a high grade team here, or a difficult team here, but it's when they're back to back to back, it makes it very difficult.
Well, and you're right. And those are all three top 15 teams when they were played in the land. Now Mississippi State has dropped out, but when they played the games, that all three were top 15 teams that Alabama had to face. And it's not just Alabama; Georgia does as well. And the other side of the SEC, SEC schedules are by nature very tough, and that's why I think. If it plays out that two undefeated teams that are non-SEC go, I'm going to have some strong words for not putting an SEC team in there, regardless of the outcome, because I think the SEC is the toughest conference, and has it not earned the right with six straight wins and no losses in the BCS championship game to have a team in there, especially if it's a one-loss team. But that's another story for another day. Let's get to some of the games this weekend. And if you thought last weekend was a poor weekend for viewing of college football, well, you're not in much luck this weekend either, because there are not a whole lot of games on. Let's start with USC at UCLA. This is 2 o'clock Central on Fox. And this is a battle for the Pac-12 South. If USC doesn't win this game, they don't play Oregon for the championship.
That's interesting. And, I guess you could say that we're still wondering about who UCLA is, but they just keep... They keep winning a lot of games, and I don't think they've had to go through a difficult schedule to do it, but they keep winning games, and they're certainly a different team than they were a year ago. So this is not the same team that we saw in 2011.
No, it's not, and I think it'll be a competitive game. I would be surprised to see UCLA win, but not that surprised. Wake Forest at Notre Dame. This is 2:30 on NBC. Of course, this is one of those games. They have Wake Forest and USC remaining on their schedule. Everybody says they're going to probably have a... if they're going to lose, it's going to be USC. Nobody is talking about Wake Forest. Do you think there's an overlook factor for Notre Dame this weekend?
Well, I personally can't see any way that they couldn't win this. That Notre Dame cannot win this game. But, stranger things have happened. But I think it's a pretty easy game for Notre Dame.
2:30 CBS, and this is just indicative of how lackluster the slate of games is. Ole Miss at LSU, and nothing against these two teams. Ole Miss sitting at 5-5, and having a good year. This is a chance for a big upset. I mean, it would be a significant upset if they were to go into Tiger Stadium and get the win, but it would also clinch eligibility for Hugh Freeze, and I think he's done a pretty good job this year with his Ole Miss team, as well as you possibly could have expected, and so I wouldn't be surprised to see Ole Miss be very competitive in this game.
Well, not only has Ole Miss won five games, but even the games they've lost, they've played, pretty good football. I mean, it's daylight and dark difference between last year's team and this year's team. So he's doing some good things there in Oxford.
He is indeed. And we continue on here. Let's go to Ohio State and Wisconsin. This at one time was thought of as one of the biggest games in all year in the Big Ten. Of course, Ohio State is ineligible to participate in the postseason. They're 10-0. If they were, the Big Ten would have a dog in this national championship fight. But they play on the road at Wisconsin. This is your 2:30 ABC or ESPN2 game. What do you see in this one?
Well, I don't know. The Big Ten just simply does not have that it element this year. Now, I know that Ohio State is undefeated, but they've played outside of the, more or less playing outside of the arena. They haven't been on in center stage, and you can say what you want to, Jacob, but when you're not having to play for anything and you don't have the pressure on you, you know, the pressure that Oregon and Kansas State and Alabama and teams like it, the pressure that they are facing. Ohio State has no pressure on them. Well, it's a lot easier for them to I mean, being a good football team, it's a lot easier for them to win.
That's true. Oklahoma plays at West Virginia, and West Virginia, they thought that at the beginning of the year that it was going to be their year, but man, have they been banged around a few times by other teams in the Big 12, and I think their road schedule has been particularly difficult. But they get the Sooners at home this weekend. Is this a big win for West Virginia, or does Oklahoma, are they able to go into Morgantown? This is a 6 o'clock kick, so it's always tougher in West Virginia at night.
Well, at one time, I guess we could go back to August. We had probably circled this game thinking it was going to be, really, this is going to be it, going to be the, you know, the wagons are going to be rolling, the guns are going to be popping, and the couches are going to be burning, and all that kind of stuff. But the thing just really, I mean, who's even thinking about
no.
this game now?
No, you're right.
It's off of the radar. But I wouldn't be surprised if West Virginia were to pull the upset, but who knows?
We go then from there to Tennessee and Vanderbilt, and this game has a little bit of significance. Derek Dooley is, I mean, saying he's on the hot seat is an understatement. He is probably on his way out in Knoxville. He is playing at Vanderbilt, and they beat Vanderbilt last year by a very narrow margin, and much was made out of Derek Dooley making some comments after the game that were not exactly what you would say after you just won a close game. It's what you say after you win big. And Vanderbilt, I think, has remembered those comments. And I think Vanderbilt at home here is going to really want to get this win over Tennessee. Now, the question is, can they do it? I don't know. I tend to think they will. But I don't think Vanderbilt's forgotten last year.
It's amazing to me that that Derek Dooley, I sometimes refer to him as Tom Dooley, that he has, first of all, not put a good product on the field. But beyond that, I think he's the most, I don't know if I've ever seen a coach who the fortunes just seem to fall against him than he has. I mean, you look back over his short career at Tennessee, and you look at win after win after win, I mean, excuse me, loss after loss after loss, that were wins almost in his pocket, but at the end something happened, and it happened again last Saturday. You know, you can think about the timeout called last year in the closing seconds. I mean, it's really been unbelievable the way he's come so close, but yet he loses every time.
Hadn't been able to get it done, and that game's at 6 o'clock on ESPN2. Kansas State at Baylor. All right, here's another one of those top teams. This is actually number one in the BCS playing at Baylor, and Baylor has the ability to put up some points. They are number one in scoring offense in the nation right now, so they have been able to do something. However, it's not the kind of year the Bears fans were looking for after last year going to a bowl and 8-4 record, and, of course, the Heisman Trophy going to Robert Griffin III. I don't think Kansas State will lose this game, but I don't think they'll blow Baylor out.
I'm not so sure that that Baylor is not the – they would be in the running. If we were given a trophy for the most underwhelming team this year, they would be it. They would be in running for that. I'm sure that after the season they had last year, the expectation they had this year, to see them sitting at 4-5 at this time of the year, that there's a lot of disappointment out in western part of Texas.
Let me correct that. I said they were first. They're actually second in total offense, not scoring offense. They average 564 yards per game. And that game is at 7 o'clock on ESPN. And opposite that, on 7 o'clock on ABC, is Stanford and Oregon. And I think this is the game of the weekend. I mean, there's not even any game really that comes close as far as what people expect from a competition standpoint. And people think that with Oregon's injuries, and they are starting to pile up, they had, I believe, two safeties to get injured, which has caused some to think that DeAnthony Thomas might play in the secondary Saturday, which would be a major shift, as well as some defensive linemen go down, and, of course, the quarterback, Mariota, is also injured, banged up. I don't know if he'll play or not. But this is one of those games that Oregon is going to have to play well to win, because we know Stanford is good on the line of scrimmage.
That's right. This is Stanford is a team that plays good, hard-nosed football. But they, too, have had difficulty with their quarterback. Then they changed quarterbacks last week, which is late in the season to be making that kind of change. But it would seem to be productive for them. But they have a good football team, and this is one where Oregon better be careful.
It is. Well, another fantastic show, as always, as we look toward Week 12. I can't believe it's already here. And next week will be Rivalry Week, the final regular season week for a lot of teams. Some will play on their regular season to the next week, but we'll have a lot of rivalries to talk about next week and a much better-looking slate of games. But College Football Professor, hope you enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you next week on Monday, back to our regular slot.
Thank you.
We will be back on Friday as we continue to monitor things in college football, and you never know when the next upset might happen, so keep it here at BunSports.com. I'm Jacob Bunn. We'll talk to you next time.